not gonna say it. Somebody should. Let's talk about two time. Let's talk about but one, yeah. You're asking the questions that nobody could. Like where the both of them are they in harmony?
Hey everybody, welcome. We're doing our first in-studio episode that we've done in quite some time, so that's pretty exciting, right? So today I have a whole list of things that happened, which I fortunately made for myself when we went to the fine state of Tennessee. So we're going to just go through the list. And hopefully I'll remember all the things on the list and what they mean and why we did them. But, you know, it's entirely possible that I won't. So, without further ado, here we go. Well, we've always got an airplane story, right? An airport story. I will say this. I don't have as much airport stuff this time. I feel like my airport stuff, my incidents have gone down, and this is a good thing. And I think that why this has happened is because I've made an alternative decision that's not very like me, but is working for me, which is this. I was listening to an episode of Jordan Jesse Go, excuse me, and the host, Jesse Thorne, was saying, took an advice question, which was like, he's traveled with small children, like to Europe and shit. And someone was basically like, so what do you do? And what he said was, oh, I have a simple piece of advice for this. Whatever rules you have, whatever, you know, whatever your rules are as far as screen time and that kind of shit, just fuck it. Completely fuck it. Throw it out the window and, you know, deal with it some other time. And that is what I have done for myself. So what I do now, when I go out of town and get on the airplane, I play Nintendo DS the entire time. Because it just, the flight just goes right by. Like, you don't get bored. You don't notice much of what's going on around you. Because you become absorbed in this game world. I highly recommend it. If you're someone who, for whom, you know, video games have ever been enjoyable, this is probably the best possible time to play them. You know, and I have my doubts about it because there's a part of me that's like, hey, you should be doing work. Like, you have plenty of shit to do. But fuck it. I did have one incident in the airport, though. So one thing I was really excited about was, so I normally wear my Chuck Taylor sneakers, because I'm a basic bitch. Whatever the, what is the man equivalent of a basic bitch? Is it still just a basic bitch, or is it like a normal, a typical testicular something? I don't know. I wear these shoes. However, they have laces and they're high top, so they lace all the way up. So when you're in line for security, you basically have to completely untie and undo your shoes and then redo them. It's annoying. It's not like the worst thing in the world, but it's not as easy as traveling in some other types of shoes. However, what I've recently purchased, partially because I'm an old man, is silicone laces. So these go in the shoes. You would never know from the distance that they're not genuine laces. And by a distance, I mean, if you were standing up and looking at my shoes, you would never know. Does the cat know? Probably. Does anyone else know? No. So this turns basically your normal shoe into a slip-on, which I highly recommend. So as I'm going through the security line, I'm like, yes, finally. Finally, I get to do this thing. I get to take my shoes, slip them off, and slip them back on. And yet I've made no concessions to fashion. So I get in line, and the guy in front of me puts his Chuck Taylors into the bin, his bin of stuff, you know, and he's looking at me and he's like, oh, you got the same problem, huh? We got the same thing going on. I'm like, yeah, pretty much. And I was like, but check this out. I got these things. They just stretch, so they turn them into slip-ons pretty much. And he's like, oh, I should get some of those. These are pretty much all I wear, you know? That would be a lot easier. And I'm like, tell me about it, bro. And so I'm thinking, oh, this is nice. Like, this guy said I was smart. And we have a similar fashion sense and whatever. He knows the pain enough that he was like, ah, I see you're in my club. And then complimented my brains. Lots of compliments on my body, but not enough on my brains. But then, as he turned to go through the security line, I could not help but notice that on the back of his neck was a very large Monster Energy drink tattoo. You know, the big green M. The sort of Mountain Dew colored M. Which, neck tattoo is one thing. I mean, it's not great, but it's not terrible. Monster Energy drink tattoo is something I will never understand. I was Googling, you know, there's a couple brands that I consider, you know, kind of rednecky tattoos, right? Monster Energy drink, Fox Racing, and I think it's Browning, the guns. Oh, hang on, I got the air just turned on. I don't know if you can hear that. Browning is the gun, and it has a picture of a deer. And then it has a sort of little, it's like the deer's head, and then it's got a sort of design drawing of a, I don't know, a lion. I call it a tail, but it's that is confusing when you're talking about a deer. Anyway, and you know, sometimes you'll see two of these together, and it's like a male and a female deer, and it makes a heart shape, I think is why the little design tail on there, which is weird, because you see this on a car, and you're like, ostensibly hunters, because this is a brand of gun. And also, you're like, so are you saying that this is like you? And are you saying that someone's going to shoot you? Like, what does this mean? I think that somewhere the meaning was lost. But anyway, we fly out, get to Nashville. It was pretty good. You know, so day one, we pretty much just did the old vacation walk around. Went to, a fucking bridge, a downtown, whatever. We did have breakfast, so we had, like, the hotel we were in. We stayed in some strange hotels. So there are four of us staying in the first hotel. And you, like, go up the elevator and you can see out. It's like the elevator is glass, so you see out in the lobby, which is gigantic. And it's got, like, a waterfall in it and shit. So we go down for breakfast. And get there just in time. But man, are they like, when breakfast is over. You know, everything is gone. They remove anything remaining immediately. So we eat breakfast, and I have to take a dump after we eat breakfast. And I'm downstairs, and so there's four of us in the room, and I'm thinking, you know, I might do these fuckers a favor. And take a dump downstairs. Why not? Right? It's like, if we're all going to four have to share a bathroom, if I have to take a dump and I'm closer to this downstairs hotel bathroom than the upstairs one, why not? So I do that. And then I come out of the bathroom and everyone has left. Which I didn't totally expect, but didn't totally not expect. Now, this wouldn't normally be a problem, or I wouldn't think anything of it, except for two things. One is I don't have a room key. Now, this is like a weird thing. Until we stayed at the very last hotel we stayed at, I did not get a single room key, even though everyone else did for every other hotel. And this is, I think, part of like Poon Master Flex likes to share things, right? Like she likes to, I think I said on here before, she wanted to share drawers in a dresser when we lived together. And that wasn't practical. And I think she also wanted to share hotel tickets, even though that is totally impractical. So I guess I don't want to not share things. I'm just practical in a way that prevents me from this. But anyway, I don't have a key. And as I'm going up the elevator, I start to realize I don't think I actually know which room number we're in. Normal. I have never had this problem before because most of the time, if I'm on vacation, I'm by myself or I have one other person with me, and I'm like, I'll learn it. And also, I guess maybe having a key, I think, well, I may come back here by myself. In this situation, I was like, I think there's a very low chance that I will be by myself, not in the room. But I was wrong. So I go up the elevator to the floor, I think it is, knock on the door, and no one comes, and I knock on the door again, and no one comes, and I'm like, God damn it, and I can see the light is on. Now here's the thing, each floor, you can see it across the lobby, is laid out exactly the same way. So I know where the room is on the floor, I just don't know which floor. So I tried this door a couple times, and then I turn around and look, and I'm looking through the glass elevator, you know, like through the lobby. And I'm like, you know what? This is not nearly as high as we were. So I go up a few more floors, and then I'm looking at the door, and I'm like, is this it? So I knock on that door, nothing. And the lights were off and stuff, and I was like, this doesn't seem right. So then I was like, all right, what are my options? And I was like, I guess I could just go every floor and knock on this door till either some kind of hotel security picks me up or I get the right one. And, you know, I could pick a reasonable range, right? Because I'm like, all right, I know the one I was at originally was too low. Let's say that's like 4. And I know it's not in the double digits, right? I don't think we're 10. Or I can say with reasonable certainty we're not above 10. So 10 to 4, that's like 6 doors to knock on and whatever. And then I think, or I could just kind of go walk around the lobby for a little while and hope that someone in the room is like, where's Peter? And like, what's going on? And would come looking for me. So that's what I did. I went and I looked at the pamphlets and I was just like, what the fuck? And so finally I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I guess I'll just go up to the desk, admit that I don't know which room I'm in, and, you know, ask if they can just tell me which room I'm in. So I go up to the desk and I was like, this is really embarrassing. I don't know which room I'm in. And she was like, okay, you know, and it seemed like it had happened before. And, you know, by the way, I'm dressed in like crazy fashion with like basketball shorts and my hair is all fucked up. So I get, she's like, well, here's the thing, you know. She looked me up and she's like, is your name on the room? And I was like, oh, probably not. It's probably Poonmaster Flex, you know? And she's like, oh, yep, I've got that. So here's the thing. Since your name's not on the room, I can't give you that information. But what I can do is I can call up there and ask if it's okay for me to tell you. And I was like, oh, God damn it. Because now they're going to know that I didn't know which room we were in. Like, there's going to be no denying it. But I'm like, yeah, that's fine. So they call up and she's like, I have a gentleman here who claims he's staying in your room. Is it okay if I tell him which room you're in? And, you know, and so then she hangs up and she's like, okay, you're in room whatever. And I was like, thank you. So I go up there, you know, and they open the door for me. Everybody's laughing. And I was like, did they talk to you? Is what I said to Cassie. And she's like, they sure did. And I was like, perfect. That's great. So that was fun. So that night, we went and saw Patton Oswalt, which was pretty cool. There was an open bar at the hotel before we left. So what we did is we were staying close enough to walk to where he was. So, you know, we walked around that day and we would go back there. We planned to go back there for the open bar, get nicely toasted, walk our way over and have some laughs. So we get to this free hotel drinks thing. And basically, it was like a madhouse because every single person in the hotel was there. Because, you know, I was like, there's no fucking way, right? How can this be an open bar? But it turns out it's just like an hour or something where it's just an open bar. So we drank a lot of baby beers. These beers were tiny. They were probably like 6 ounces or something like that. And they give them to you in these tiny cups. I guess you have to go up over and over and tip the person and whatever. And also because I think it works on some people, like Nick Nora felt bad because he's like, I feel like I've gone up there like 100 times. They also had some snacks out, including hummus and some kind of purple stuff. It made me feel like I was in a Sunny D commercial. You know, I'm like, let's see, we've got hummus, Chex Mix, purple stuff. The purple stuff turned out to be a bean dip and confirms a belief I've held ever since Poon Master Flex and I had a terrible incident while trying to recreate a dish they serve at the Cheesecake Factory, which is that purple food is not good. If you make a food and it turns out purple, beware. Beware. So then we go see Patton Oswalt. And as you may know, his wife died about a year ago. And the reason I chuckle is because he told some pretty goddamn funny jokes about it. Not about his wife's death, but about... He told these jokes that were about how when it happened, you know, his daughter's in school and the principal of the school was like, do not tell her now, like, take your daughter out of school, you guys go do something fun, and then, you know, and tell her, like, tell her and when she doesn't have to come right back to school and all this shit. And he's talking about this and saying, you know, how, I can't remember exactly how it goes, but basically some weird old woman who somehow knew him and knew what had happened kind of came out of the woodwork and was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And at this point, the daughter's like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? And so, you know, that kind of blew the lid off it. And he's just always imagining this old woman coming out and ruining any good moment he has in the rest of his life and so on. And so he's telling this story and I am dying. I am just dying. And it was pretty quiet in there, and I think my friends were a little embarrassed, but what are you going to do? We also, there was a bartender working at the comedy show who turns out was a UNC photography student. Or no, she was a UNC, how did this go? She was a photographer, and she went to UNC to do a bunch of like photography for their pamphlets and whatnot. Which was so crazy, because when you tell people, you would think when you go out of town and you tell people you're from Greeley, they would have no fucking idea. But I would say like 1 in 5 has some kind of Greeley experience. It's very weird. Greeley follows. Then we went out, you know, we went out to a couple bars after. I'll tell you this. So we went out to a bar and they're like, we're closing. And we're like, God damn it. And but the lady's like, you know, I'll give you a drink if you want. If you guys are going to be speedy, I'm happy to serve you. And so we're like, okay. So she gave us like triple shots of, I don't know, Fireball or whatever. And I don't think you're doing anyone a favor by giving them a triple. Maybe a double. But, you know, it was like I tried to swallow this amount of liquid in shot fashion, and it was very difficult. I mean, it taxed my absolute limit. Oh, the one other thing. So the next day is mostly a driving day until we got to Dollywood. Now, so we had to drive from Memphis to Gatlinburg/Pigeon Forge, which is they're on complete opposite ends of the state. So another thing we did into this giant used bookstore. I mean, they had games and all this stuff. So we bought a couple games. We bought a Trivial Pursuit. And we bought a game called Would You Rather to play in the car. Now, Trivial Pursuit, there are a couple things I always forget about Trivial Pursuit. And then as soon as I start playing it again, I remember. And I'm like, how do I keep forgetting these things about this game? One of the things is Trivial Pursuit is fucking hard. Like, really hard. There are questions that I don't know how you would get. There are questions that you would only get. For example, if you had someone who was from Argentina, is going to know some of these answers. And but other than that, I don't know how the fuck you would know that. There were a couple questions where the answer was like Argentina or an Argentinian president or whatever. And I was like, holy shit. That's who these questions are for. That's crazy. Also, I always forget that there's like a board game. You know what I mean? Like, there's an actual... And who... Do people play that game? Like, where you get the things and you get the pie wedges until your thing is full and then you... I mean, who does that? I don't think anyone does that. And is the game... I mean, I couldn't tell you... I could tell you what a Monopoly board kind of looks like. Or I could describe even Mousetrap in general, what the sort of setup looks like. When it comes to Trivial Pursuit, I couldn't fucking tell you for anything what the board looks like or how to actually play it in a legitimate way. Also, there are like 50 different Trivial Pursuits. And everyone who looks at Trivial Pursuit says, oh, this is Genius Edition. And I'm like, hey, Genius, it's genus. That means like which one it is. You know, it's not genius. All right? Calm down. The other game we got was Would You Rather, which was just a bunch of cards that had like Would You Rather this or that type questions in it. So some of these were like, all right, like there were a couple that were just terrible ways to die. It's like, would you rather die in this terrible way or that terrible way? Which I was like, Well, this is, they're answerable questions, but you know what? They're not like super fun questions. And then there's the ones that are obvious choices, right? Which are sort of like stupid. I mean, they're just, would you rather have this great superpower or live a normal life? And you're like, oh, well, I guess I'll take the fucking superpower. Is there something I'm not getting about this? And then there were some that I thought were really funny because they were super insulting. It almost seemed like whoever wrote them had a vendetta. For example, there was one that I think it went like this. Would you rather date Carmen Electra, but she's got a unibrow, or Gwyneth Paltrow? So you could date just regular Paltrow or Carmen Electra, but she's got a unibrow, which I'm like, I think this implies some pretty interesting things about these two characters. And I can't tell if this is just a huge slam against Gwyneth Paltrow or if this is like very pro Carmen. I don't know what this is. But those were pretty entertaining, I have to say. Then we ended up at a little place called Dollywood. Now, Dollywood, for those who don't know, is Dolly Parton's theme park. So here's the thing. I expected Dolly's theme park to be a shithole. I mean, I thought it was just going to be crap, right? And so, you know, we get there and you park in the parking lot and you take a shuttle that takes you up to the actual park. And so, you know, it's like this open air, long car kind of thing. It's like a train, basically, but, you know, whatever. And so you're just in there like, holy shit. Like, I don't know what this is going to be. You can't really see anything from the parking lot or from the road or whatever. And you get in there and it's totally legit. I am not kidding. I was completely impressed. I mean, the first thing we rode was kind of like this hillbilly space mountain, basically, which was great because Nicanor was there and he's like, I do not like roller coasters. And, you know, we were like, all right, well, let's just, you know, and he's like, I rode Space Mountain as a kid. I was fucking terrified. And since then, hate roller coasters. And we rode the ride that absolutely has to be the closest thing that Dollywood had to a Space Mountain. I also, you know, the last time I rode a roller coaster, I got kind of carsick. So I put a, so this time I got motion sickness patches like you'd wear on a cruise or something. I had no idea if it would work. And also, it was like, you can put it behind your ear, which is what I expected, or on your belly button, or around your belly button. So, I mean, that's where I put it, and I have no idea if it worked. Because here's the thing, I definitely felt some car sickness after riding a handful of rides, but I don't know if it would have been worse. I also don't know if the placement had an effect. It was weird. You know, and I did enjoy throughout the day, you know, raising my shirt above my nipples and everyone could see my patch. But you know, the whole thing, it's like a real theme park. So I guess it turns out that this was like a theme park that someone had built at some point and then it was going under, and so Dolly bought it and kind of revamped it and stuff. Like, it's a theme park in that there's a theme to it. You know, it's got like a sort of a carnival area. It's got kind of like a 50s American Graffiti kind of area. It's got like an old mines kind of area. I mean, it's crazy. Now, if you like theme parks and stuff, I highly recommend Dollywood. It's fun. They have fun rides. And you know, the rides you get on too are not just like rides. Like, we got on this roller coaster and you go through, you know, these twists and turns and shit. And then you like end up in this little house where there's all these fireworks. They explode and it rockets you out backwards and there's flames and everything. And you go shooting out backwards like you just kind of got blown out of this house and then ride the entire thing backwards. It's cool. The one feedback I would give to Dollywood, I thought it could have been a little more shitty. And by shitty, what I mean is like, I guess I kind of expected, like, maybe there'd be a roller coaster that went around a giant Dolly Parton statue. I expected all the music in there to be Dolly Parton music. I thought, like, maybe there'd be giant foam mascot versions of Dolly Parton that you take pictures with. You know, shit like that. And it really wasn't. It was much classier than that. Which I feel weird saying, because, like, you know, it's very, like, down home. And they have, like, these areas where they have, you know, local artisans. Like, they have a metal worker, they have woodworkers who, like, will make a baseball bat from a fucking log. So, I mean, but it's classy. It's weird. So then we stayed the night in this place called Gatlinburg. Now, Gatlinburg is a really weird place. Some of this we discovered the next morning, but some of it that night. Like, so we're staying in this place. It's a cabin. It reminded me a lot of, like, an Estes Park or something. And we decided to go go find out where we're going to eat, right? Like, let's go get some food. So there's this place that's pretty well-rated on Yelp. We just go walk in. It's closed. We go to another place, and it's like a pizza place that they're like, this is pretty good. And I'm like, let's just get a fucking pizza. We'll bring it back. You know, we're all pretty worn out by then. And we go in there and the lady's like cleaning up and stuff. And she's, I don't know, Eastern European or something. And she's like, well, you know, we're closed. And their closing was in 45 minutes. So here's the thing. I'm not saying we like went in there 20 minutes before close and we're like, get us some fucking food. But 45 minutes before, like, I wouldn't even go into a pizza place 20 minutes before close. You know what I mean? I probably wouldn't, unless I, for, you know, it's like Spy the Slice or some shit. But we go in there, it's like 45 minutes. Which is, here's the thing. Here's one of my Mayor of America plans. When I'm Mayor of America, restaurants will not, they will have a closing time. But listed with their closing time, they'll have a last serve time. So in other words, the closing time is sort of like, hey, you know, if you're in this last served window, but if the last serve is at 9, you got to plan to hustle your ass out of here by 10, right? Like, we'll get you your food by 9:30 and you'll get the fuck out by 10. Or, you know, if it's a pizza place, I mean, hey, we take our last phone call at 9. Right? Any phone calls that come in up to the moment of 9 o'clock, we take them. At 9 p.m., we stop answering the phone and stop making fucking new orders. Right? Isn't that more useful for a restaurant? I mean, I know they need a closing time so that they can get people out when they're just sitting there, but wouldn't it be better to just have a last served? Like, so then I know. Because some restaurants, you don't know. You're like, okay, well, if I went in and sat down, am I being a dick? Like, I promise you, I'll be out of here in time. It just kind of depends how fast this food comes, you know? And you're like, I don't know, normally it takes like 15 minutes. It's pretty quick. It's just so hard to know. So anyway, she's like, oh, you know, I'm kind of starting to close. And we're like, okay. And she's like, well, I'll make you pizza if you really need it. And I was like, how do you, what's the definition of really needing a pizza? I don't actually know. I don't know what it means to really need a pizza. Because I'm like, well, I'm very hungry. So that is a high level of need. And, you know, I know that food is on that Maslow's hierarchy is a pretty strong one. But at the same time, I'm sure there's something else we can eat around here. So, you know, and then we went one other place where they were like, oh, you know what? We only have drinks. We went two other places where they're like, we don't have food anymore. We just have drinks. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, every one of these places is listed as, you know, having food or being open. And you're like, okay, so you just turn into a bar. So finally we ate a pizza and fucking went home and passed out. Now, one of the things we noticed walking around was, like, this is like a weird tourist resort town. Like, that night, There was like a bar that's like a fake Space Needle, which now I wish we'd gone to and probably would have if we weren't so fucking tired. But yeah, it's like a smaller Space Needle. And it's called like the Needle or something. I mean, it's supposed to be that. There were also, I am not kidding, because we got a pamphlet that said 8 Ripley's Believe It or Not museums in this town. Like, you would go up and down the strip, they had one that's like vehicles. They had one that's kind of like oddities. They have one that's like celebrity shit. You know what I mean? 8 of them. Nicanor was like, is this Ripley guy like a town founder or something like that? What the fuck is going on? And then the next day, as we're driving out of town, I realize, like, this whole place is crazy, and I would love to take a vacation here and do all this crazy shit. I mean, they had weird stuff like, apparently there's an economy there that can accommodate multiple Christmas stores, like year-round Christmas stores, which I was like, this would be a great place to gear up for a nice rampage. You know, they had, like, about 1,000 pancake stores or houses. There was always a pancake house. And it was always like a big log cabin, and it always had the biggest parking lot you've ever seen in your life. Which I'm like, I guess they must get a lot of business because there's this many of them and that big of parking lots. Which, by the way, I think I don't know if I ever mentioned my idea for a pancake house, but it goes like this. It's a 2-story pancake house. Everyone sits in tables, and then there's basically catwalks up above where pancakes are cooked and then flipped down onto your plate from the rafters. How amazing is that? Now that's fun. That's a place your kids want to go and eat a fucking pancake. There was like a weird upside-down mansion where you could go. I mean, it's fucking crazy. I ran into a friend who I used to work with, and she has been to that area many times, and they went to like... Dolly Parton has kind of a restaurant. It's like medieval times, but Dolly Parton themed, sort of. It's like a stagecoach something, dinner, whatever, and it's giant. And, you know, people ride around on horses and stuff, and she's like, I'm in there. And this cowboy comes in, and he's on a horse, and he's got, like, you know, chaps and a Western shirt and a hat, and he's got, like, running lights going all over him, you know, built into his outfit. And they're just like Christmas lights or whatever, the chaser lights just going all around his body. And my friend was like, I was laughing my ass off. And the person I was with was like, hey, stop laughing. You're like pissing people off or something because they're like taking it seriously. Which I'm like, no, you are not wrong for laughing it. If someone comes out in insane lit up garb, how when you take that seriously, you're wrong. Okay. But that is like a place I would put on my, you know, this warrants further investigation, much further investigation. So then we drive back the next day and we got to drive all the way back to Memphis because we got to catch the Lucero show. That's the whole reason we came. So we stop in Chattanooga at this thing called Wayne-O-Rama, which is like Wayne White's art studio, which if you haven't seen the movie, I think it's called Beauty is Embarrassing. And Wayne White is like the head designer for like Pee-wee's Playhouse and a bunch of other cool shit. The shit in there is really cool. So just go check it out. And there's a lady working there, you know, putting stuff together and was showing us around the exhibits and shit. And oddly enough, she's like, where did you come from? And we're like, oh, we were coming from Dollywood. And she's like, oh, really? And she's saying her husband's in a band. He's a drummer who played with Dolly a couple times. She's like, yeah, he's played for her, you know, for whatever. And I was like, that's freaking awesome. And this lady's like, yeah. And I asked him, you know, what she was like, because I was like, surely she's probably whatever. And he was like, she is exactly... out of, you know, she's always in character. Like, she's never not in character, by which I mean she's genuinely herself. She's very nice and, you know, always very accommodating and stuff like that. And then this lady was also like, okay, well, she's real good looking, but she must have a gross butt, right? Because we all know she has giant boobs, you know, and her face is all made up and she's skinny and stuff. Her butt must be disgusting. And she's like, My husband didn't really want to talk about it, but when I brought it up and kind of didn't let it go, he just sort of shook his head because he's like, no, it's pretty good too. And this lady was like, damn it. I thought there had to be something, you know, I could hold over and be like, aha, but no. And turns out there wasn't. So anyway, we drove a shitload and that was that. And we were back in Memphis. So we get back to Memphis that night and I ate some disgusting catfish. And also we ate some alligator, which was much better than catfish. We were kind of trying to find a bar near where we were. And here's what happened. We went to a few different places and none of them were any good. One of them was like this weird beer store where they had karaoke. And it was one kid over and over singing karaoke. And I say kid, he's probably like 22. And it appeared that he was singing karaoke to his dad, who was at the next closest table. Now, this could have been a winter-spring relationship or something. But it sure looked like it was his dad. And the guy was kind of just texting the whole time, the dad. It was fucking weird. Now, also in Memphis, so we had some, you know, we had some stuff we did. First of all, there's a Bass Pro Shops in Memphis, which is a giant pyramid. Apparently, there was this huge pyramid building that was something, and that closed, and Bass Pro Shops bought it up. But now, like, we had a driver later who is from the area and was saying, like, his prom was there, or they have graduations there, and, like, they do a bunch of shit there. This is, like, a Memphis sort of landmark, I guess. We also went to the Civil Rights Museum, which was weird. I mean, it's good. Here's what's weird about it. So they have the hotel where Martin Luther King was shot, right? And the balcony and everything. And it's kind of like preserved. I don't know if it's preserved or if they like revamped it or whatever. But basically, it looks exactly like it would have the day he was shot. And then, you know, you're going through this museum, but it's a civil rights museum. So it basically is a museum of the lives of black people in America, starting from when they were, you know, brought over as slaves and whatnot to the present-ish day. So it's like weird because you're in this museum and like the first room you go in is really packed because you kind of wait in there and then you can go watch a movie or not. And we skipped the movie just because it was like, the first room is super crowded to the point where they're like, that first room's pretty crowded, you know, just be aware and whatever. And so everyone's kind of walking around being super polite. You know what I mean? Because you're like, ah, fuck. I'm going to have to walk in front of this person who's reading this plaque. And I don't want to be like, hey, watch out, white coming through here. You know what I mean? But then you're also like, I just want to get around the room. And there's just so much of this go. It's the most polite room in a museum I've ever seen. And museum rooms are not known for not being polite. So then you go around and, you know, there's a lot of cool stuff there. And like they did a good job as far as like you go in there and it's like fucking whoever designed this museum knew how to pack a lot of shit into what doesn't look to be a very big space. Like there's just so much stuff. And I was like, I don't know where I am right now. And I can't figure out how I got to where I, like, if you said point towards the nearest exterior wall, I'd be like, I have no idea. Or like point towards the direction your car is parked in, I'd be like, I have no idea. So like they did I don't know what the pattern must look like. I'd like to see the blueprints because I'm curious because I should arrange my apartment that way. It is also one large space with a high-ish ceiling that could perhaps be divided and be a little more useful. So then you go up to the place where it's like they recreated. I don't know if it's recreated or if it's just preserved or probably some combo of both. But it's the hotel room that Martin Luther King was in. And then some people who were with him were in like the adjoining room. And so they like recreate both rooms and you kind of stand in this hallway and look into the rooms. It's like it's eerie. It's weird. You can also, I guess part of the museum is across the street. And that's where the guy who shot him, James Earl Ray, shot him from. And, like, I get the impression that people maybe don't go across the street as often. We didn't, because I think, you know, you go through the museum and you're in there for like kind of a long time and you're like, all right, that's enough museum probably. But also, I don't know, it just feels weird to stand in the spot where the guy shot the other guy, I guess. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe if they swapped it, because then you'd be like, all right, well, now I got to go see that. Like, if I stood here, I got to go there. It just seems, I can't get over the idea. It's got this glass enclosure of standing there and being like, okay, so this is what the guy who shot this guy was seeing. It's very weird. I guess it's like an exercise in empathy, which I just was like, They also have a gift shop there. I guess, you know, museums have a gift shop. It's strange. You know, I don't know how I feel about like a beer glass that says Black Lives Matter or something. I don't know. It's never occurred to me to express this sort of social thing on a whatever. But anyway, I mean, it's a cool museum. Like, and it's, I like the idea of having a museum that's focused on a smaller topic than just, you know, I mean, the one we have in Denver is the Denver Museum of Nature and Science. And it's like, oh, okay, I'm sure we can cover all of that in a building of any size. You know, how the fuck? You can't be any more focused than that, nature and science. I think it was a great idea. I really like this sort of preserved, refurbished or whatever part, and having it on that spot, I think is really cool. Like, despite my not going across the streets, I think that's pretty awesome, because it's kind of like, well, I guess it's weird because it's where history was made, and it's like a very dark chapter in history. But I don't know. I guess it's still interesting to me. There's also, this is really weird. So we're walking to our car, and there's this sort of like, and it was raining a little bit. So there's this thing covered in a tarp, and it's like kind of looks like, you know, when a homeless person has all their shit on like a dolly or something and then covers it up with a tarp. I guess I'm speaking specifically about this guy around town, but anyway. And apparently, according to a sign, that was the James Earl Ray Museum or Memorial or something. It was like the James Earl Ray Memorial Museum, which was crazy because it was like, Why you would take the time to do that? And I did want to know what was under that tarp, or, you know, what it was actually supposed to be. And then also it had a website, which I realized was a website that I used to use in presentations at work all the time. I have to show kids, like, this is something that adults have been experiencing recently that we've been doing for decades, which is, like, showing kids how to look at a website and say, like, hey, this might be a bunch of bullshit, even if you can't really tell if the information is accurate or not. And one of the ways in which you can do that is, you know, well, and one of the ways I demonstrated that was through this website, which I'm 99% sure was the one on the James Earl Ray quote-unquote museum. And it's this site of, like, Martin Luther King stuff that now it looks horribly dated and terrible, but at the time kind of looked like an educational website. And, but then you start clicking through it and you realize it's all about, like, Martin Luther King was a philanderer. And then, like, weird things about how Martin Luther King was actually a racist or something. I mean, and it gets more bizarre, you know, because, like, whether or not someone was a philanderer or whatever, I guess I just don't really care. It's more like they just start making these outrageous claims of, like, whether or not, like, his religious leanings or, it feels like by the time, there's, like, one page that's, like, rap lyrics about Martin Luther King and why he's good or bad, which I was like, okay, I don't know what that means exactly, but fine. And it just gets to the point where, I guess if you believed that website, you would be like, well, I think Martin Luther King may have been from space and have come here to cause some kind of trouble. It's fairly nebulous and hard to tell. And all I could really say about the James Earl Ray Museum is that it was a pile of shit covered by a tarp, and the Civil Rights Museum was awesome. So there you go. We had a weird thing happen. So that day, we're in the Civil Rights Museum, and then we're downtown, and Poon Master Flex got sick. Like, she was getting sick the day before, but this day she was sick, like, had a cold, which almost never happens. She very rarely gets sick. But she did this day. So I ended up having to sort of be... Nicanor was vacation dad, because he was driving us around and stuff like that, combined with Poon Master Flex, because she was, like, she made all the bookings and did all that stuff. But that day, I became vacation dad. Because I, Poon Master Flex is, like, really feeling sick. So I'm like, all right, guys, we're downtown. We went downtown to see this hotel where these ducks, apparently in this hotel, there's a penthouse where these ducks live. They, like, every day or a couple times a day, get on the elevator, ride it down to the lobby, swim a couple laps in the fountain in the lobby, and then they waddle back into the elevator and go back up to the fucking penthouse. Which is great. That, I love that shit, man. That really floats my boat. That floats my duck in the fountain. And after we did this, she was feeling sick. So I was like, all right, guys. I got to take her back to the hotel. Because I, you know, we were talking about, I was like, what do you want to do? And she's like, I don't know. And I was like, all right, here's my opinion. I think that you're toughing it out, and I appreciate that. But I think that, you know, we've got this concert. And if it continues raining and you have to stand outside in the cold for like 4 or 5 hours, that's going to be pretty tough. So I think the best thing to do is like, let's take you back to the hotel. You can rest up and then, you know, see how you're feeling at concert time. And she's like, I'm going to the concert. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to argue with you. Let's just, you know, this is, if that's what your plan is, clearly you got to go back, right? So Nicanor and Val stay downtown, and I drive Cassie to the hotel, and she's going to sleep. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to go get some food and yada yada. So I'm out in the car, and Nicanor and Val are texting me. They go to this great bar where they have, like, goats that live there, and they, like, walk up and down this spiral thing and shit. And they stumbled into a beer fest. There was some kind of, like, a Camaro convention or something, some kind of car. And so there's like a shitload of them up and down the street. And most of the owners were like older black men. And Nicanor at one point took video of, I guess, a dance party broke out at one point. And it looked like there was a crew of like, I don't know, 12 guys who were all dancing together. And it looked to be like a coordinated dance. I mean, this looked like something out of a movie where you're like, these people just spontaneously started dancing, but they all knew this dance and clearly had done this before. And then this lady just jumps in and is horrible and is like the worst dancer ever, and it was super funny. So they're texting me all this stuff, and I'm like, you know, getting pissed off. So I'm like, well, I'm glad you're having a good fucking time, you bastards. And I get Poon Master Flex some soup and take it back to the hotel. And by this time, the show is starting at like 7. I'm gonna make this quick. The show's starting at like 7. And it's probably like 5:30. And Nicanor's like, hey, can you take us to the show? Like, the Lucero part of the show is at 7. The rest, though, started at like 4 in the afternoon. And they're like, we're ready to go to the show. And I'm like, God damn it. So I have to drive a half hour, pick them up, take them to the show. I have to go in the show with them because the tickets are under my name, and then take them there. Then I'll have to turn around, immediately go back to the hotel to get Poon Master Flex, get her woken up and like ready to go, and then we'll have to go. So I'm driving down there, and I'm driving back past this big pyramid, and I just sort of, you know, and I was like stewing and just sort of like, this was a waste of a vacation day. But then honestly, I was like, actually, this is fine. You know what I mean? This is all right. Because, I was thinking about everyone else I was with, and I was like, you know what, Val and Nicanor had a great time, and they were being total troopers, and, you know, they just hung out downtown unplanned for like 4 or 5 hours, and I was like, yeah, I would be ready to go too. Then I was like, and Poon Master Flex, it's like, well, yeah, I'd rather be the person taking care of the sick person than be sick. Like, being sick sucks, and there's no one gets sick on purpose. So I was just like, you know what? This just is what it is. And I'm totally, this is, you know, I'm cool. I had this like very, you know, like, hey, you need to calm yourself down moment. So then we, I take them, I go back, I get Poon Master Flex. We ate some soup and watched Family Feud with Steve Harvey was on it. Which Steve Harvey is so interesting on that show because, like, I can't tell if he's just not heard of a bunch of stuff or if he's, like, if that's his shtick. Because, like, okay, the category was, like, different kinds of bagels or something. I think it was bagels. Like, what kinds of bagels are there? And one, you know, so they're like, well, plain. And that goes right up there. And someone's like, wheat. And something goes up there. And then someone's like, everything. And he looks at this person like, what the fuck are you talking about? She's like, everything. And he's like, what is an everything bagel? And then she says, it's the opposite of a plain bagel. Which I was like, not, I mean, if you had a subset of things and it was bagels, and you're like, what's the opposite? Which of these are least alike? An everything bagel would definitely be the opposite of a plain bagel, or the most dislike. But I don't think being the most unlike a thing makes that thing its opposite, right? Like, that doesn't work like that. I mean, up is not the opposite of down, because down is the, up is the most different from down. It's just like, it's flipped. Anyway, and so partially I blame Steve Harvey, but partially I blame this moron, because I was like, what the fuck? An everything bagel is not the opposite of a plain bagel. The opposite of a plain bagel is like a slice of bread or something like that, right? I mean, it would be square. I don't know. Anyway, so then we get a taxi. So like when I got back to the hotel, and by the way, we're staying at this hotel, which is a Holiday Inn, which I guess is like the first Holiday Inn or like the headquarters. So the second floor is kind of a whole museum to the guy who started the Holiday Inn franchise. It's very weird, but it was also kind of great. And I go up to the desk and I'm like, hey, I want to get a taxi. She's like, okay, you know, and I was like, all right, so do you want me to tell you, like, I need it in 45 minutes. So should I tell you that now, or do you want me to just come down, you know, 15 minutes before I actually need it? And she's like, no, you can just, you know, if you want it at 9:45, I'll get it. I'll call them in about 10, 15 minutes and they'll be here. And I was like, great. So we get ready and then come back down. And we're just standing there waiting for the taxi. And like 15 minutes goes by and it's not there. And then 20 minutes. And then at about 20 or 25 minutes, this guy comes over and he's like, hey, your taxi is going to be here in about 15 minutes. And I was like, okay. So, you know, by the time it got there, it was 35 minutes late. And so we get in the taxi and the guy's like, sorry, I'm driving this real shitty. He was driving a like Toyota Camry that had over 400,000 miles on it. And he's like, this thing is completely broken. Like every warning light is on. He's like, I just started doing this a week ago. And, you know, so they gave me this crappy car. I'm supposed to get this nice Kia, whatever. And he's like, but that's not until next week. So we get in this car and then he's like, all right, so where are you going? And I told him, and so we're going to like a hall, like an events hall, and it's like 10 minutes away. And I tell him, and he's like, oh, okay, how do you know how to get there? And I was like, no, we're not from here, but I can find directions. And he's like, okay. So I get the fucking directions and I start reading them off my phone. He's like, oh, you just looked it on your phone? I could have done that. And I was like, no shit. So he was driving, he was nice enough and everything, but we just get out and I was like, you know what? People want to know why something like Uber or Lyft works. And it's because you don't have this. Okay? You don't have someone who shows up and doesn't know where they're going or how to get there. If you did, you'd be like, this is insane. You also don't have someone show up 35 minutes late. Right? Like, if you did, you'd be like, well, this person's getting none stars and then they're fucked. It was insane. It was just like, oh, also, he's like, all right, which way should I head? And I was like, all right, go ahead and take a right. And he immediately starts turning left, and he's just talking about nothing. And I was like, no, you need to take a right, a right, a right. And he's like, oh, okay. he just reverses in the middle of the street and then, you know, turns the other direction, stopping traffic two different ways. And I was like, oh my God. But then we got to the concert, and the concert was fantastic. This guy passed out basically on Nicanor. He was standing there, and I always tell people that, like, Lucero shows tend to be a party in a way that other things are not parties. So we show up, and, like, Val's there, and she's purchased Lucero ponchos for all of us because it's still raining, and we looked great. And in the middle of the show, there's a guy kind of just standing there, and he just falls backwards on the concrete, just completely unaided. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't try to stop his fall in any way. And when he hits the ground, he just completely hits. And then his friends pick him up, and he's sort of dazed, sort of not awake, but sort of awake. And then they prop him up, like, Nicanor is facing away, so they're back to back, and they sort of prop him up on Nicanor, like Nicanor's kind of a little ramp. And Nicanor is just standing there and doesn't even really know what's going on, but just continues to stand there. And, you know, we met some, Nicanor made some new friends, because that's what he does. One of whom thought his name was Nicolor when she asked him if he had any cocaine. And he was like, do I look like someone who would have cocaine? And I was like, not really, but I do think that you look fun. So that's probably, you know, I wouldn't think you'd have cocaine. But on the other hand, I would think that if I asked you for cocaine, you wouldn't be pissed off at me for asking you if you had cocaine. So it was a great show. It was a good time. It rained like crazy, and it was fun. We went to a pancake house the next day that had the craziest system of ordering and delivering pancakes that I've ever seen in my life. And it was horrible. We went to Graceland, but we didn't go in because it was too expensive. Although they did sell taffy. I was supposed to report back to my boss because someone brought back taffy from Estes Park. And I was like, what is with these resort towns? They always have fucking taffy. Even though, you know, I was like, it's saltwater taffy. Even though it's nowhere near the sea. And I was like, whatever. And she was like, I bet everywhere there has taffy. And sure enough, they had taffy. In Dollywood, they had Graceland taffy. And we went to a cat cafe, which stank. We couldn't get in, but it stank so bad that when you opened the mail slot, it was like, oh my God, maybe we should not go inside. But it was called the House of Muse, so that was pretty good. Also, so we're on the way back to the airport, and we got to find a gas station to gas up the car. And we finally find this gas station that's close to the airport. It's completely taped off, and it turned out it had been fucking robbed like less than an hour before we got there. I mean, there were just cop cars everywhere and blah blah blah. So it was great because we were passing over the interstate, and we were basically in the airport and had to turn around and come out to buy gas. And then we were like, all right, here's a gas station finally. And it was completely closed because it'd been fucking robbed. And the last thing that happened, really, was we're getting on the plane, and this guy gets on the plane, sits in his seat, and then gets up and comes back out of the plane to, like, get a bottle of water. And which I was like, this is crazy. Like, I wouldn't think they would even let you do that. Like, get on the plane and get back off again. And just to get, like, water. It wasn't like he was like, I'm going to hurl or something like that. He just seemed very unhurried, and the flight attendant seemed super pissed off, but was like, whatever. And then he gets off, he gets the water, and then he happens to be sitting in the row with Val and Nicanor, and Val reported that he barely drank any of this water that he bought. So it was good. And that is Tennessee. So, you know, if you've got some free time, why not take a trip to Tennessee? It's lovely. I hear it's lovely this time of year. I wouldn't know. It's probably too fucking hot. I hear it's lovely when we were there. All right. Well, thanks for listening. It was a pleasure, as always. And we'll talk to you again soon. Well, it was Texas, it was Tennessee. It was what I had committed to me. You were unlike anything before. Magic devil killer, I was yours.
It was the early days of rock and roll. And it was oldest, it was Memphis on. It was a plane crash, it was overnight. And it was burning fast, burning bright. Baby, don't you talk no more. The look is loud enough. You don't have to tell me how it feels not to be in love. You see, that was my oldest game. Darling, was my claim to fame. And I knew it when I met you, all of you and me. Well, what I got. Oh, so baby, please just stop. Well, it was Texas, it was Tennessee. It was X's and some water bees. It was reckless, it was understood.